Your boy Derek from the Weekly Pools here. We are live with Mike Tanner and Alex Madej, the writers of Midnight Highway. Mike, Alex, introduce yourselves here.
Hi, I'm Mike. I've been working in indie comics for about 5 or 6 years now. This is my first project working with another writer. So Alex, I'll toss it over to you.
Yeah, I'm Alex, the co-writer of Midnight Highway with Mike.
Awesome. So how did you guys meet? How did you guys like come together to write this?
We just got to know each other through like indie comic circles and like stuff like that. Like we just kind of got cool joking around about different material or like liking the same stuff, basically.
Right on. That's super cool.
Yeah, we shared a passion for Godzilla. I think that was the first thing. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was Big Trouble in Little China. I don't know, Alex, but Alex had a book out. It's one of the first books that I backed on Kickstarter. And I just started making comics myself. And I'm pretty sure you backed Dragonfly, right, Alex, or something like that. We linked up that way, I think. And
I think you found my stuff first because I hadn't read I still haven't read Dragonfly, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. Wow, you are such a non-supporter friend.
Shit, Mike. Sorry. No.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of that through this. You know, it's almost like on a 5 minute interval, Alex is going to give me shit. So.
Well, that means we like each other at least, right?
That's stretching it, but yeah. we tolerate each other really well.
I hear you.
But yeah, I think that was it, Alex, right? Because I remember you were doing the Kaiju Gods anthology. And you started talking about, you know, a mutual love of Godzilla. And I know we started to talk about other interests that we had. And then it just kind of started to link up that we like a lot of the same stuff in terms of entertainment. So I think that's kind of a good foundation for when it started.
Right on. So both of you have separate catalogs. Mike, how many books have you written? Alex, how many books have you written?
Well, I've written several, but I've only like self-published one or two. My stuff's kind of like hit or miss all over the place.
Right on.
For me, I'm kind of a writer and a producer, so like I bring in other writers to write some of the books that I produce. So that would, right now, that's 4. I'm working on getting up to 6 different series, right?
So would you say Midnight Highway is y'all's, like, baby right now, or do you guys have other things just as big going on?
This is the baby.
Like, my passion project. I mean, this is the only thing I'm working on right now. This is kind of like my baby. Well, it's Mike and I's baby, basically, but that's kind of all I really got my hands dipped in right now.
That's cool. I can tell it's y'all's baby. I really loved it. I read issue 1. Anthony, is he like y'all's agent?
For this campaign, he is.
So Anthony hit me up and he sent me this, and I love this.
Awesome. Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been sent a bunch of indies in my DMs on Twitter since I've started doing this kind of stuff. And I've got to say, this is probably my personal favorite.
Oh, man. Awesome. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, dude.
I really appreciate that. We love it and we're fans of it too. You know what I mean? Like
for sure.
That's why we're making it the way that it is it's exactly what we wanted it to be. You know?
As soon, like when it ended, it was like, no, give me more.
It was short, right? You know, it whips along really fast. It's got that. I mean, can I cuss? I'm going to. Speed to it. You know, it's got like it starts off kind of soft and delicate, and then just kind of rips into this pretty intense scene that just doesn't let up, right?
That deer.
Yeah.
The deer. I've had a dream about that deer, dude. That thing is wicked.
Awesome. We love that deer. And
we love it.
And if, I mean, I'm talking too much, but Alex, I mean, we went through so many different forms of issue one's script. Like, there's just so many different drafts. And I found some old ones. And it's crazy to see how many times we revised this and got it to where it actually finished, and, you know, basically where we ended up with issue one. And this is its best form, absolutely. But there were so many things that we considered along the way. One of those things that we locked in early on was the deer.
Wise choice.
Yeah. Where I live in West Virginia, and you see deer all the time.
Yeah.
And I've wrecked into three deer. I think everybody's hit a deer that I know that live in West Virginia. You know, unfortunately, it's pretty common for them to come near the highways and interstates.
Yeah. And so I'm going to drop a bomb on you. Where exactly are you from in West Virginia? Hello?
Did you hear me?
I cut out there. Where are you from in West Virginia?
Beckley, West Virginia.
I'm from Lewisburg.
Okay. Awesome. You're just an hour away from
me. I don't live there currently, but I was raised and I grew up in West Virginia, and I actually looked you up when I seen you on Kickstarter and it said Beckley. I was like, oh, wow, what a small world.
Yeah, it is.
So it is. That's really cool.
Yep. I still live in Beckley. I was born and raised there.
Right on, man. That's awesome. Alex, what neck of the woods are you hanging out in?
I'm a Kansas City boy.
Oh, boy.
That's where I'm at right now.
What's the weather doing over there?
Whatever it wants. It'll be like 90 degrees out, but then it's like also wet somehow, and like it's just it's the worst. You'll get stung by a mosquito when it's like negative 20. You're like, what in the hell is going? It's its own weird place.
Sounds like Missouri.
It's I love Kansas City. I love Missouri, you know, but like at the same time, it like since it is the middle, it does just kind of seem like the garbage heap of the U.S. It's just weather and stuff like that sometimes. But like, it's a great place. I love being from Kansas City. I'm very proud to be from here. So.
Right on. Well, whenever this book like blows up and y'all get a little extra moolah, you should totally come over here and we can all like meet up and have a beer.
Cool, man.
That'd be cool, right?
I'm always down for beer.
So what? Where did the inspiration for Midnight Highway come from? Who did it start with? Was it both of y'all just collectively? Did one of you come up and say, hey, I have this great idea?
That's basically – Mike came to me with – I'll let him kind of tell, but he kind of came to me with an idea he's been sitting on for a while, and it's just kind of evolved between both of us.
Yeah, that's basically it. I had – this was one of the first ideas that I'd had when I was wanting to get into comics, but I knew I wasn't ready to take it on yet because I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do with it. The thing about this series, I guess just to give it a real quick backdrop for your listeners, just kind of what is the book and what we're talking about. It's this teenage boy ends up on this mysterious highway that's just shrouded in perpetual darkness. It's just forever night, and there are all these supernatural events and creatures and beings that he comes across, and I kind of compare it to like an Alice in Wonderland style adventure where it's just one thing after another, and those things don't necessarily connect or tie together. And he's trying to make sense of the bigger picture of what's happening to him. He doesn't understand why he's here and what's going on. And neither does the reader really right now. And that kind of gives us the backdrop to explore a lot of different things and set in the 80s. So we definitely pull a lot of inspirations from the 80s science fiction and horror genres, both in film and television, even comics from that era. So that was the concept really early on, was at least that much. And then I didn't really know where to start, and I had all these different ideas and stuff. And the thing was, as I got to know Alex better, and started to understand more, you know, it, like specifically how he tells stories and what things he thinks are the more intriguing aspects of storytelling. I just messaged him one day and shared the idea with him because I knew I couldn't really make it the way that I needed it to be made without him. And that was probably the best decision I've probably made creatively since I started making comics, was linking up with Alex on this. And then, you know, it kind of snowballed from there. I gave him basically what I just told you is what I gave him. And then, you know, I guess, Alex, you can kind of go from there. I mean, you heard the premise, and then what were your thoughts after that? I mean, obviously you
like
it.
Like, I love the idea. Like, I'm into very, like, wild versions of storytelling. Like, I like crazy, silly anime. Like, I always loved, like, Alice in Wonderland. Like, I like Carpenter movies, just wild-ass stuff. Like, so it's, like, it's hard for me to sit and focus on, like, a very grounded, fleshed-out story where it's, like, I just like to have fun and tell, like, almost, like short, cool, and weird stories. I like to drop you off in the middle of a situation. Like, I'm just, like, I'm just exploring, having fun, and almost, like, I almost like messing with writing more than I want to be a good writer, like, if that makes sense. But it's like, this is just such a fun idea to really just, you have grounds to do whatever you want with it. Like, I mean, each one's like a Scooby-Doo episode in some insane land. Like, and so it's really been like a fun project, and just like taking that base skeleton, like we've ended up writing some more like romancy parts in it, which is like, I never thought I'd be writing that kind of shit, but it just fits with what we're trying to do with it. Like, you know, we didn't even decide that deer was going to talk until like Alex had already drawn most of it. And then we're like, man, I think this deer should just have some dialogue to really like spice this up. You know, it's like, we're just constantly messing with it. Look, Mike and I will have a 2-hour conversation and be like, this is how we want an episode to go. And in 2 weeks, we'll repeat that back to you and it'll be completely different. Like, we are just constantly tweaking it and looking for fun ways to make it better. And like, we're just poking the bear every day with it. But it's been a fun, rewarding book to work on. Like, I'm really proud of what we've done with it.
Yeah,
that's the creative process by definition, if I've ever heard it. Like, that's awesome. That's so freaking cool.
It's like I'm having fun working on it, and I feel like with Alex Malyshev involved and Hedwin and Dave, and just we're in this whole collective of cool people. Mateo's been doing 3D stuff for it, like, I just feel like we're in a good group of people, like, pushing each other and giving their all and, like, contributing, like, this, like, funness to it. So it's just, like, if anything, it's a fun book you should check out. Like, that's all I can tell you to check out about it. But I truly, I'm having fun, and that's all I could ask for as a writer, basically. Like,
and as a reader, like, when I read it, you can tell, like, you can feel the energy and the love and the creativity that you all have put into this book, honestly.
I really appreciate that, man. I really do.
Absolutely. Like, I am dying for people to read this. Like, I showed my best friend, me and him do the podcast together, and as soon as he read it, he called me and he said, "Why the hell didn't you send this to me sooner?" He said, "This is sick." And like, the guys that are doing the art for y'all's book, like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, we're really
writing everything.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that art team is definitely kind of. I think sometimes it humbles you when you see the art. Like, I don't know if it's like this for you, Alex, but whenever we get pages back, even if it's just the pencil and ink pages, we get those back from Alexander Malyshev, and we start talking about it. We get excited. You know, it's like Christmas every time we get a page back from him. And then we send it to the colorist, and when we get it back from him, Hedwin is his name, it's just every time it's just very humbling, because it's like Alex and I've talked about this before, we kind of get a little bit of imposter syndrome because they're so talented. What are they doing with us? You know, like, why are they working with us? But but we're grateful for it, and it's definitely helped elevate what we have written. You know, like they bring, there's a certain narrative that they've both brought to the look and the feel of the book, you know, and they were chosen for that reason. Like we went out and asked them to be a part of this. And they really played their parts to the best, to their capability, and have exceeded that sometimes with the art. And I think that's especially the case with issue two. I think issue two really pushes the creativity further in terms of not only what Alex and I put in the issue, but what they've done artistically with the book.
You know, like during the day, like, I actually work in a cave. I drive a forklift and like an underground freezer here. And so we don't get cell phone service, but you can get like a few things on Wi-Fi and stuff like that. But there's like this manhole cover, and it's the only place you can get signal because it's the only hole that goes straight up to the outside. So you got to like stand under it for a few minutes, like just to get your data and like do stuff. And like there's literally sometimes where I see like, we've got like a group message where we share the art and updates and talk about stuff. And it's like, if I see a photo has been sent, I'll literally spend my entire 15-minute break standing under that hole, loading a photo. And I'm always just like, yes, like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I get so excited. It's worth doing it. Like, that's how much I love working with like Alex and Hedwin and getting stuff back from them, because it always is just like a satisfying feeling.
It's legitimizing, I think, you know, validating, I guess is a better word there too, to describe it, you know?
That's so cool.
Yeah. So yeah, we're really proud of, from a visual standpoint, we're really proud of the book. And then in terms of writing, I think we, Alex and I both have talked about this a lot, because it's, you know, what kind of approach do you want to take to the book? Do you want it to be a very wordy book and explain everything to the reader? Or is less is more, you know, is that going to be the approach? And I think the less is more approach has really worked, because horror a lot of time is about the unknown. And since this is a mysterious highway that, you know, that this story takes place in, you know, you just have to slowly peel those layers, as you go through each issue. And in that regard, it is a little bit of a slow burn, but there's so many things that happen. That keep the pace really quick, that you can be entertained if you're not really, you know, being thrown a lot of complicated plot lines and things of that nature. You know, like there's definitely a lot of different ways to write a story. And I think we tell a very visual story with this book. And I think that that was the intention early on. But I also do believe that some things are starting to flesh out organically along the way too. So, you know, so much we invested in the art team and directing the scenes of it and trying to make sure that it's a very cinematic book, but at the same time, we're getting a better understanding of how we want the character to sound, you know, the main character, Alex, how we want him to sound. And, also to kind of help flesh out, some more of his intentions and his motivations for getting out of this place. And learning a little bit more about the highway as he makes his way further and further through it.
Right. So our main character, Alex Tomlin, was that on purpose? Was that after you, Alex?
No. There's a lot of kind of like, I guess I would call them like, they're like personal Easter eggs for Mike and I. Like we just like, we find a lot of references and we're like, yeah, we like, so Alex is literally like, his name comes from Alex from The Last Starfighter. Like, that's where his name comes from. So that's why we just went with Alex. Like, and we never really bring up his last name. I think it gets brought up in that first issue. But, like, he's always just Alex. Like, and it's just kind of where that's where that ominous name got pulled from is we just – and, you know, I'm Alex too, so I enjoy the name, you know.
You know, I'll go ahead and say something about that too. There have been a lot of Alexes that have worked on this book. You know, you've got Alexander Malyshev, who's the main artist. You've got Alex Madej, obviously, the writer. We've had a pinup artist on the first issue when we ran the campaign. Her name was Alex Monick. She did a piece. We have someone that designed a VHS case for us on issue two. His name is Alex Vincent. And I don't know if there's any other Alexes. Is that it, Alex? I don't know if there's any more.
So far.
Yeah, so that's four Alexes that we've worked with, not, you know, just between the two issues. So it's not that we're actively seeking them out. It's just that it keeps becoming an irony. Ironically, just keeps showing up. And we see an artist that we like Alex Vincent, the guy that did the VHS, you know, just came across him on Instagram, and his artwork was just like, it's exactly what we were looking for. And it was just by coincidence, his name was Alex. And that just keeps happening, it seems like.
So what about Alex's girlfriend, Kelly? Where does she come from?
I might take that one.
Well, we threw back and forth a lot of names. I think that was one of the first times, Alex, that we were like, not butting heads or anything like that, but we couldn't really settle on a name. We kept coming up with different things.
We couldn't agree on two names that felt right, basically.
Yeah. So Kelly LeBrock. Are you familiar with Kelly LeBrock?
I'm not. Who is that?
Okay. She's the actress that was in Weird Science.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? The dream girl?
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. So, you know, we were looking through a lot of these girls from the 80s and stuff, and I remember that, you know, just the image of her being in the doorway in Weird Science where she's, like, in that cutoff T-shirt and panties. And I'm pretty sure every guy, every teenage boy in the 80s had her as a poster in their bedroom. And, you know, so that name Kelly stuck out to me. And I was like, you know, that seems like a really well-rounded name, a girl next door name. You know, that was kind of what kicked it off. And then I think we talked about Kelly Kapowski too, but I don't know. Was Saved by the Bell in the late 80s? Was it? Or was that early 90s? I can't remember.
I want to say it's like early 90s.
Yeah. So I know we just like, we kept talking about the name and then I think we just kind of finally settled on it. And, yeah, that's earliest incarnation of Kelly was brought on from Kelly LeBrock.
Okay.
Are you checking her out right now? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I just Googled her, dude. I just Googled
her. Like, hey, I can now, step like, away for about 10 minutes. I'll be right back, guys.
Yeah, like it all makes sense now because I totally remember seeing her in a bunch of stuff. Like you just said, Weird Science. What else has she been in? Let's look.
You know, I don't know what else she's been in, you know, honestly. I just remember she was just such an iconic person just from that role. And when you see things that refer to the 80s, when they talk about, you know, when you see 80s documentaries, when you see people talk about, you know, supermodels in the 80s, which I'm pretty sure she was a supermodel. I think she did stuff for a lot of different people, but the thing is, you know, she was always that image of her in that doorway. It was always something that you see. It always gets brought up. It's an iconic image.
I remember her in Hard to Kill. That's where I remember her from.
Steven Seagal.
yeah, Steven Seagal, because they were married for a hot minute too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were married for a hot minute. I'm pretty sure.
Holy crap.
Poor woman.
Huh. Well, yeah, it's crazy. Yep. What is it? I just can't imagine being with Steven Seagal. And I hope he's not listening to this podcast, by the way, because I'm pretty sure this guy, even to this day, could come still kill me. But, like, you know, when you're talking to somebody like that and you're going on dates with a guy like that, I just don't know how it gets to marriage with a guy like that. Maybe I'm off base here. I don't know. But I'm standing across from this guy who, you know, he's like, you ever watched him in interviews?
No, like, not really.
He's just like he is in the films. Like he's not how he is in his films, you know, that's how he is as a person. Like he's absolutely playing himself in his movies. So it's kind of interesting to imagine somebody being romantically involved with him. He just seems like a contract killer all the time.
He's always ready to snap a neck and cash a check.
Yeah.
Look up a compilation of Steven Seagal running if you want to get laugh, man. It's like a pretty funny thing.
He's not very athletic, is he?
No, he just has like a really silly like run where he's kind of like stiff and flails his arms a lot. Like it's a really weird run. Like John Leguizamo made fun of him one time about it. Like I looked it up. It's like the funniest shit.
Remember the Mad TV skits with Steve? I think it was Will Sasso. Is that how you say it? And then, you remember those when he was doing Steven Seagal? Those were so good. he would just snap everybody's necks. Like it was just there'd just be people that were just supposed to be bystanders in the skit. He would just come by and snap their necks and stuff. And it's always a really funny thing, I think. What a national treasure.
Right, exactly. So I really, when I've read the issue, I'm really curious about two characters that I guess haven't really been established yet. Is the dude on the radio that's talking to Alex, is this going to be like a reoccurring theme?
The voice is a character that will be consistently, it's basically like a possessed radio in Alex's car. So he the voice is an ongoing character.
Nice.
We actually have a Tom Reiser does all, he does the voice for us on all of our Kickstarter videos. And we actually have a podcast we've done where he does the voice and he just does like random call-ins and stuff, like a, almost like a Space Ghost type thing or whatever. Like we wrote a bunch of silly like call-ins and like we have like a bunch of like crazy commercials we've done. We've done a lot of stuff with Tom so far. So
Tom's really great. And he wrote all those segments and he did all the voices. So when you hear a different character, it's him. You know, he's running through filters or he's doing things to his throat that he probably will never recover from. But he does all those voices and he's done a really great job. But yeah, that character, the radio station that host, I kind of compare him to the Cheshire Cat. You know, he pops up and, you know, sometimes what he says makes sense. Sometimes what he's saying might be a little cryptic and you're not sure what exactly the purpose is behind it. But yeah, it's the idea of the podcast that we had. We've only had one episode done so far, but the idea is for that to kind of continue to build out the world of Midnight Highway. But Tom is actually playing that character, the voice. So that's, to answer your question, yeah, he will be reoccurring. And we have that complimentary that accompaniment with the Midnight Highway radio show.
That's awesome. It sounds like I really need to check this stuff out. I didn't know about any of this stuff. Is this all on the Kickstarter?
If you just look up Midnight Highway Radio, like at any point, like on like iTunes, I think like where else is it at, Mike? It's on several. It's a free place to look. Just look up
that
Highway Radio and listen to it.
I'm definitely going to find that, and then I'm going to share it. Definitely going to do that for you guys, because that sounds really fun.
I think my favorite skit in it, I don't know what yours was, Alex, but one I enjoyed the most was the farmer that had the alien invasion.
Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
No, that's it. That was the one that really stuck out to me was... because he had that katana or whatever. That's the thing that I remember most was him kind of going to work.
There was a guy in the news a few years ago, and he was trying to sell his ranch, and he like claimed like grays kept coming to it, and he like killed one of them with like a katana before and stuff like that. So it's like I've always had this funny idea in my head of just like doing a story about that guy or something, but Tom does a little talk where he's pretending to be that guy and he's talking about killing grays and stuff, and it's just you can image the guy so well off his voice that it's just hilarious.
Yeah, that's the one that sticks out to me. But they're all really entertaining. But that one really, that was the highlight for me.
Definitely gonna check.
Alex did one too that I really dug, where she's calling in about her like demonic boyfriend or whatever.
That's not talking to her anymore. That's she's calling in with relationship problems. My fiance does one segment with Tom. It's the last one. She's just a troubled troubled teenager who's calling in about her boyfriend, and then you find out that it's a demon, and then they bring the demon on, and it becomes like this kind of Jerry Springer kind of feud. Yeah, it's entertaining. Just listen to it. It's funny to listen to how it unfolds and everything. I got to do the voice of the demon. and he put a bunch of filters on it. I think we did one layer that was in English, which is really, really buried, so you can barely hear what I'm actually saying as the demon in terms of, you know, in English. And then we do a different layer above that in Latin, and that comes through too. So you got to really listen in on what the demon's saying about their relationship. It's pretty funny, I think.
That sounds pretty funny.
Wild stuff.
How about the dude carrying the lamp that walks through Alex like a ghost? What about him? Is he going to be reoccurring?
You just have to keep reading, man.
I'm over here trying to dig.
Yeah. I think everything, the reason why we're writing it the way that we are is to keep every pathway open. And we know, just like in reality, roads may intersect more than once. So the idea here is that, you know, we're introducing the characters because we think it's a really cool visual, and there is a sense of intrigue or mystique to them all. And we will explore their stories as it makes sense as we continue down the path. So to answer your question, there's always a chance that we will see them again. When and how is, you know, something that Alex and I just, you know, we're writing this so that one character explores many things. We're not trying to create more more texture than what's necessary for all the things around him. You know, it's more about, you know, the highway itself is a character. And the idea is for you to see all its personalities. And so that's why we don't want to necessarily dwell too much on any one particular thing that he sees or comes across as we go through the story. So, you know, I don't know if you'd see him again anytime soon, but there's a purpose to him. Absolutely. But, you know, I don't know if where the story's going right now, really, that would be an explanation that would be satisfied right away.
I love that answer. That's a great answer.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
we basically, it's like, there's so many different types of stories, like Alice in Wonderland, like Wizard of Oz, like even now with like Rick and Morty, or like what they're doing with like the Marvel stuff. There's all these like infinite universe things, or like unexpected avenues in a story, like where you can just take these weird journeys on just these massive worlds. You can pull anything from and mess with as much as you want. But there's just nothing really doing that with like horror and stuff, like in the way that we want to loosely be weird with it and have fun with. And so it's like, that's really just kind of what we're trying to do with this, or at least like I am personally, is like explore some of these weird horror themes, but like take them to unexpected places and like, you know, wild stuff like that with it. I don't know.
Subverting expectations has been pretty much the key to this, because I mean Alex, it seems like it's going this way, but you know, it could change. I mean, we've only got two issues written so far, so the thing though is that we usually are introducing two things, and one is we publicly will show only so much of the book, and then we hide something else that's really, really big for when people actually get to read the book. So, you know, for you, you know, issue one, you got to read it all. But when we were marketing that and advertising that, and while we were running the Kickstarter, no one saw the monster at all. Like, we did not show anything about that monster. All we showed were the first five or six pages of the book, and that was it. So that whole thing was like a big surprise for everybody when they finally read the book. And that also included the radio. They didn't see anything about the radio station. and they definitely did not see the last page of issue one. And so when you think about it, those were two things, like, you know, the monster and then that last page that really introduces you to the highway. Those were the two things in that first issue that would subvert your expectations as you're reading it. And then in the second issue, you know, this book starts off with the character, Alex, he's just driving through the highway, and he comes up to a haunted house that's an arcade. And he goes into a haunted arcade. And that's all we've shown. But that is not the book in its entirety. It's not like the whole adventure takes place in the haunted arcade. It's just that's how much we've shown. And it's been enough, you know, to that we think to draw people in. But there's no way anyone would predict what happens next. If someone does, I'll be shocked.
It's not a comic you can pick up, look at the cover, and then thumb through the last few pages and know what the hell's going on. It's never gonna be that way. Like,
yeah, we want there to be the what do they call it in TV shows where the first 5 minutes or whatever before they do the opening credits, there's always like that tag scene or whatever you call that at the beginning. I can't remember the term. But it's what entices you to stick around and watch the whole show. That's kind of how we do this, too. We have something in the beginning to intrigue you, and then we, you know, start to go through this really wild, you know, surprise. Like, you know, issue one, the first page is, you know, you think you're watching or you think that you're reading the book, but it's actually a scene from a movie on a drive-in screen, you know? We kind of try to do that as we open up the book, and then when it takes that detour into whatever is going to be next, you know, whatever wacky thing we thought of. And we thought of a lot of crazy things. I mean, there's just been a lot of crazy stuff that we've come up with that we want to do in further issues, and I think we'll always be able to subvert expectations because of that.
Yeah, I did. I really liked that intro in issue one. I mean, honestly, everything you guys are saying, it's like it's 100% true for anybody listening to this. If you haven't picked up Midnight Highway number one and like you're unsure about it, like y'all need this. I'm really excited for issue two to come out. When does this Kickstarter start? When are you guys dropping the Kickstarter campaign?
Today is the 10th and we're launching it on the 14th. On the 13th, we're going to do, I don't know if you're going to be on for it, Alex, I don't think we ever really nailed that down or not, but we're going to do like a 30-minute lead up to midnight, and then at midnight on, you know, 12 a.m. EST time, we're going to launch the campaign.
Hell yeah, man, I'm down.
That's awesome.
So right when it becomes the 14th.
It's already setting my reminders. I'm ready for it.
I've had a lot of people messaging me talking about, hey, you're not going to, because I do this, like I've ran a lot of campaigns and I launch them at unpredictable times. And there's a lot of people that pride themselves on being the first backer for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I had four friends message me 2 days ago. Asking me, hey, you're not going to launch early and not tell anybody, right? Like, I want to be number one, so I want to make sure that it's actually launching on the 14th at midnight. And I'm like, yeah, we're definitely doing that. So it's nice to see that there's other people that are excited about it the way that Alex and I are, because otherwise we're, you know, we need a lot of people to be excited about this, basically, you know, to fund and make sure that we can continue to make it. So it's nice to hear from others whenever they're hyped about it. There's a lot of things that we've done with the book, too. For you, if you want, I can get you a copy of the 3D version of the book. Alex mentioned it earlier. But we have an artist that basically went back and rendered all of issue one in 3D.
Oh, wow.
And we're doing it again with issue two. And it's amazing. It's the blue and red 3D, you know, just like we had when we were kids. You know, yeah. It's a whole different experience because we took the text out. It's just the page art in black and white, and then with, you know, the red and blue. And it kind of like feels different. It's like a different kind of experience, I think, looking at it that way.
I bet that's insane.
Well, it really is. That scene where that deer first walks across the road in front of his headlights, like it has such a weird presence in 3D for me. Like I think of that image in 3D all the time now. Like it's really weird. But it's awesome. And Mateo, like he messes around with this 3D stuff all the time. Like he's pretty killer at it. So it's like solid 3D. It's not bullshit we just threw on there, like to get a buck or do something gimmickly, like. Like, we wouldn't put it out if it wasn't that way. Like, we're really proud of how this turned out in 3D. And, like, we even brought him back to do issue 2 in 3D because it's that killer. Like, we want to add that experience with it. Like, if we can, we want Mateo involved doing that because it's so cool.
And it kind of ties back into what Alex was saying about the art team being really hyped for this. You know, Mateo, he's really he's a huge fan of the Die Highway too, you know, like not, you know, he wasn't just an artist that agreed to do this for a paycheck. You know, he did this cause he actually likes the book. He really enjoyed doing it for issue 1. So I think he's always going to be part of the art team. He's always going to be a part of it. And he also, him and another artist, Leslie Norris, for issue 2's campaign, they did a screen print that looks a certain way when you have the lights on, and then when you turn the lights off, it glows in the dark, and it has a different message on it that you can see once it glows in the dark, which is really cool. And that's so we're offering awesome. That as an ad. Yeah. You'll get to see it when we launch on the 14th. That's an add-on that we're offering. We did glow-in-the-dark stuff for issue 1. We had t-shirts. We had glow-in-the-dark t-shirts. We're still doing that for issue 2. There's glow-in-the-dark glasses, glow-in-the-dark stickers. We did an augmented reality pinup on issue 1. Issue 2's main cover is an augmented reality cover. You download the Artivive app, and you look at the cover through the app once you have it pulled up on your phone, and then the cover will animate, comes to life.
Oh, wow.
So there's these and all these artists that we worked with have done all these, you know, crazy little things. You know, it's on the surface it might seem like a gimmick, but it's just we ended up working with people that already had the skill sets to do these things. So we tried it, and now that we can see what they can do, it's kind of become an asset to kind of building out the allure of Midnight Highway.
Absolutely, I think it's rad. I think it's rad as shit. Like.
Even when we were doing the campaign, like Dave came to us, was like, "Do you guys have a letter?" And we went and looked at Dave's stuff. We're like, "Dude, this is like killer, cartoonish, wild lettering. Like, yeah, this is what this book needs." So it's like that. Like, I think that monster, that deer, turned out so cool because of his letters. You know, like I'm very proud of what he's done on that. Like, it's
yeah, we haven't really talked about
a bunch
much,
of different
right?
people coming in.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Alex. You're right. We really didn't talk about Dave a whole lot today, but he's been a huge contributor to this as well. Well said, man.
Yeah, so it's I literally look at this like it's like a collective of just cool people working on a project. Like that's just how it is in my head. Like
for sure. These are all people that we'd want to hang out with. You know what I mean? Get together and watch a movie with and chill with and stuff, and it's like it's kind of rewarding in that regard too.
It shows in the final product. It really does, you guys. It really does. So is it still possible for me to get my hands on a physical of number 1?
Yeah, for everybody that's joining the campaign for issue 2, you can pick up issue 1. There's a lot of different tiers that have both. One of we're not selling at retail yet. This is only being given to reviewers like you and backers. And that's it. There's more partnerships to announce later. And then it will probably become available mass market soon. But right now it's just direct to consumer through Kickstarter.
Gotcha. Yeah, because eventually someday I'd love to see this on the shelves at my local comic shop. Like, that'd be awesome, especially with you being from Veckley. Like, that's super kick-ass, like, all the way around. Like, this book deserves to be, like, full front on the spinner rack, dude.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
We feel that way. We feel that way too. I mean, like it.
I just you should. Here.
Yeah. We're proud of this. We really. We like I said. We made something that we'd want to read. So good to hear.
Yeah. That. I guess. In closing this out, tell me both of you in your own words to everybody that's going to listen to this on my Twitter and YouTube, the podcast. Why should they back this?
Alex, I'll let you back it.
I mean, it's just a cool book. Like I said, like we really worked hard on it. We've spent a lot of time on. We've got a great team of people who they're not trying to do gimmicky bullshit. They're not just trying to make a quick buck off a comic trend. Like they're out here like really spending their time and effort like on this project. And like I make it, but like I truly am proud of it. Like, and I'm someone who's done art my whole life and always messed around in little creative circuits. Like, I'm not always proud of a lot of the stuff I do. Like, I'm very proud of working on this book. It is like, I still look at the physical and I'm like, man, this turned out really fucking cool. And it just like hypes me to work on 2 as good and 3 as good, you know, whatever. And if you like spooky stuff or mysteries or just like something with just some weirdness to it or even some fun and a little romance. Like, I mean, Midnight Highway has a little all of that. And it's Hedwyn's added a color style that, like, I don't think is seen in that way very often. Like, I really think he has a unique color palette to this. And it's just – it's got a cool vibe. You got to check it out. Like, I can't hype it enough, and I'm very proud of it.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of nailed it. I mean, Hedwyn has red grass and purple skies. You know what I mean? Like that's like when I'm looking through the pages of issue 2, you know, it's just like and somehow your eyes accept that, you know, it's strange how he's made these colors work the way that he has. I would echo what Alex is saying. Honestly, he said it best. It's a passion project. We put everything into this, and I'm kind of the mind that I'm so confident with this. I've worked on other books. This is the one that if you told me that I only had one opportunity to submit something to a publisher or to submit something to a screenwriter or a film producer, and I had to pick one thing, and how confident would I be about its current condition? To submit it. You know, am I proud of it enough to give it as is right now to anybody and stand behind that? And that'd be the one time that I could do that in this lifetime. And I would say I would do it with Midnight Highway. So I believe in it that much to where I don't think there's anything I'd go back and change about it. I'm proud of it. It's 100% what I wanted it to be. And I kind of challenge anybody that's listening to this, you know, if you go by that campaign page when we launch and you're not impressed with what you see, I'll be surprised if you're not. That's kind of really been my mentality about it. It might be an arrogant thing to say, but it's just that's how proud I am of it and how impressed I am by the art. That's
yeah,
all
man.
I'm going to say.
Well, I love those answers. You guys are fantastic from like a creator standpoint, and like you guys are pretty cool dudes. This like I'm sold. You got me. I'm gonna back you.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
All right, well hopefully everyone listening, you know, also does the same and considers it, and I don't think anyone will be disappointed.
No, and if they are disappointed, they just have really bad fucking taste.
Your words, not ours.
Yeah, my words. Don't take that for granted, you guys. This is Derek from the Weekly Pools telling you, if you don't like Midnight Highway, I think you have shit taste.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I guess that does it for us here. Mike Tanner, Alex Madej here, Midnight Highway, the Kickstarter Kickstarter starts on July the 14th. What is that Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Yeah. So this upcoming Wednesday, y'all, Kickstarter, Midnight Highway. You don't want to miss it. Mike, Alex, thank you guys so much for your time. Thank you so much for letting me read this book too, man. Like, I love it.
We really appreciate it, man.
We really appreciate that a lot, man.
Absolutely.